It is 3:06 on the mighty 790 KFGO, and you are listening to the Mike McFeely Show. Later on in the program, we are going to talk about electronic cigarettes and the crusade to ban electronic cigarettes. I know that they're not regulated very well. I know that the marketing strategy of the companies that have these electronic cigarettes is geared toward teenagers. That's obvious just by the colors and the funky styling and some of the flavors of these electronic cigarettes. But as somebody who doesn't smoke and as somebody who can't stand being around smokers, I don't know for the life of me why people are trying to ban them altogether. If somebody wants to get their nicotine fixed through an electronic cigarette and they're an adult and they can make their own decisions and there's no secondhand smoke to worry about, then why are we worried about banning electronic cigarettes? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe our next guest, when we get done talking about cereal, maybe we can start there, we'll want to talk about electronic cigarettes. His name is Jerry Bader. He is a talk show host in Wisconsin on some of our colleague stations in Wisconsin with Midwest Communications, WTAQ, WSAU, and WHBL. And Jerry and I haven't had a chance to talk for a while because he's been on vacation and I was in Kansas, but we're going to kind of get this thing going again on Thursdays. Hello, Jerry. How are you? Good to talk to you again.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, back from San Francisco, and it's great to be back in America.
I was going to ask you that. Why did you go to San Francisco? When I saw some of your photos on Facebook, and some, I thought, what? Jerry Bader going to San Francisco? I could not think of a more diametric opposite than those two things.
Well, you know, there are some things liberalism cannot screw up, and they're worth going over there to visit. Hey, if you've never done Alcatraz, it's really cool. And the day that we toured Alcatraz was the day that I heard some prisons were giving iPads to prisoners. How's that for contrast?
I kind of like that. I like that. All right. I want to talk. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, that was just, you know, that really, if you've never been to the Bay Area, all kidding aside, we did the Pacific Coast Highway. San Francisco is a wonderful place to visit. Really a wine country. If you've never been, you really should. On to the important stuff.
And I haven't been, and I plan to someday. So there you go. We can all agree on that. I need to talk first about a very serious topic that's consuming the world's talking stage right now, Jerry, and that is, of course, Syria and what the United States should do in Syria. And you and I exchanged some electronic messages earlier today, and I said, well, we can talk about this, but I'm not sure we're going to find much ground that we disagree on, Jerry. I shredded the president yesterday for trying to claim that he didn't draw the red line in the sand or whatever cliche he used, when in fact he did do that, and to try to disown that was completely dishonest of the president. And I don't think we should have anything to do with Syria, Jerry. We need to stay the heck out of there for various reasons. Now, I'll give you the microphone and say you can take this where you want to go, but I'm not sure that you and I are going to disagree on this, are we?
Yeah, this could be one of the most boring segments we ever do, Mike, because I mean, amen, brother, is about all I have for that. I got to tell you, I didn't think there was any end to President Obama's ability to surprise me. He shocked me out of my socks with that one yesterday. Not my red line. It reminded me of Bart Simpson. Wasn't me. Didn't see it. So, really? I mean, it will change my calculus. It will change my thinking. Of course that was his red line. And, you know, I will tell you, though, the debate that this has generated, Mike, over here on the right, is that in and of itself reason for Republicans to say, there's no way in hell that we're giving you this now, because we can't save your credibility because you just shot it to pieces yourself. And really, the other, I guess my other observation on this, Mike, is all of the attention is on what Republicans are going to do with this. Just before we took to the air here, I was looking at the numbers. Democrats in Congress, he's not even close.
Well, and
the whip counts right now.
That's where I wanted to take our discussion, Jerry, because I agree. You know, the House is a lost cause for Obama, I think, on this. No matter what the president wants to do, he's not going to get the House to go along. But in terms of the Senate, the Democrats have the majority in the U.S. Senate. And I was thinking the exact same thing. I didn't see the numbers or check out the numbers that you did, Jerry, but I was just kind of going through my head at lunchtime going, wait a second here. he might not have enough Democratic votes to get this through the Senate. And if he can't get this through the Senate, then what does that do for the rest of his presidency? He's going to have zero credibility and zero power to do anything, Jerry. And that's not a good thing for this nation. As much as you dislike the president, as much as the right dislikes the president, I don't know if it's a good thing that our president would be completely neutered for the next 4 years.
You know, in fact, Dan Henninger, conservative writer for the Wall Street Journal, made that very point today. He felt Republicans, even if, you know, whatever happens in the House, that's exactly what he felt. Republicans have an obligation to not have a completely impotent president for the next, you know, 3.5, whatever years. I do think that's a compelling point, and I will tell you, I buy into that to a certain degree, but I think from what I'm hearing you say, you would agree, he messed this up on his own, and if he doesn't, with every misstep, you know, the first, at the last 0 hour deciding to go to Congress, and then the idiotic line yesterday about the red line, if he's left without congressional support, it is entirely of his own making.
Well, and I don't know how this is going to turn out, and I certainly don't. I'm not in the quote-unquote war room, either literally or figuratively, Jerry. But I'm taking a wild guess here. And right now, the president's people are trying to find any way out of this for him. They're trying to find any way out of having to go to war, having Congress shred his credibility. They're trying to find any way out of the situation so that he can come out of this and say, okay, I got what I wanted. This is a scary situation from my side of the aisle, from the Democratic side of the aisle, Jerry. I look at where Obama's put himself, and let me repeat, I'm a supporter of President Obama, but where he's put himself with this is frightening from my political perspective, because Obama's going to have zero credibility in this country. He's going to have zero credibility on the world stage. Can you imagine? I mean, he maybe already does, but he's going to be a president with no teeth in anything, Jerry. And that's that. No matter what you say, that's not good for this nation to have.
Here are the two immediate things, Mike. I think you've got this exactly right. And I think this invites potential actions against the United States, that you have things that haven't happened so far. Let me ask you this, because I don't have the answer to this. If Congress says no, what does your gut tell you the president will do?
They have to find some ally. They have to find somebody. Well, right now the president is meeting with Putin. Is there some way out of it with Russia? Is there some way that the president can save face by finding some alliance with Russia? That's a frightening thought. It's a thought that maybe is wild and crazy, but what other option does he have? Russia's the one that could actually have some influence here on Syria and on Assad to say, look, let the guy off the hook. It's going to benefit us all if you let Obama off the hook. I don't know if that's what's being discussed right now. Nobody knows except for Obama and Putin, but maybe that's the path forward. I don't know.
I don't see it playing out that way. I mean, if it worked that way, it would be Vladimir Putin extracting just about everything on his wish list from President Obama to then exert pressure on Syria. I don't see that. It's a mess. And by the way, I take no joy in that at all. I think you and I really are in complete agreement on this. This is a terrible moment potentially for America right now.
What would you have liked to, if you could rewind, if Obama could rewind the highlight reel right now, which he'd really very much like to do, what should he have done, in your view, Jerry, from a conservative standpoint? What was the correct thing to do as it comes to Syria gassing its own people?
Okay, two things. Don't draw red lines as throwaway statements during a presidential campaign, because that's what he did. He threw it out there to take Syria off the table during the campaign. I would say probably the biggest thing, Mike, is he should have decided to consult Congress right away. What happened? It's the 0 hour. What happened is on that Friday afternoon, he looked around and you know what? I'm all alone. If I do this, Parliament didn't even back up Cameron. Yep. I am all alone. And I can't do that. I just can't do that. And waiting to the last minute is like Lance Armstrong or Ryan Braun or someone who's done something bad, not confessing until you absolutely positively have to. And that is exactly what he did, and that was too late.
No, and Jerry, you're right. This might be the most boring segment you and I have ever had because I agree with everything you say and you agree with everything I say. But it makes for a good discussion, and I think it shows that even on topics involving this president, that people with as diverse a political opinions as you and I have can look at this and go, this guy just screwed this up royally. Obama could not have screwed this up more if he had tried to screw this up, and that's where we are right now. It's
shame on any conservative that takes delight in that, because this is absolutely how this comes out, and not just Syria, but as you said earlier, Mike, the United States' credibility on the world stage going forward, nobody, regardless of ideological stripe, should ever want to see that diminished.
Well, and I appreciate that point too, not to make this a complete love fest, but this does not play out well for us as a nation. You know, we can fight amongst ourselves all we want, and Jerry and Mike can argue with Wisconsin listeners and Minnesota, North Dakota listeners all we want. That's us fighting in our own home. We'll get through that. But once you start to bring in some of these other people and crazies from around the world, possibly taking shots at us and possibly causing this nation damage because of whatever weakness comes out about this, that's not a good thing for anybody, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. That's not where we want to be at all, you know?
Agree.
Jerry Bader, our guest, he is with WTAQ, WSAU, WHBL in Wisconsin. It is 3:22 on the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO. Our guest is Jerry Bader, talk show host and a very successful one from WTAQ, WSAU, and WHBL in the state of Wisconsin. I often say great state when I preface the name of a state, but in this case, just the state of Wisconsin. I should probably be careful because, you know, the big bosses are here in Fargo right now, Jerry, so they're possibly listening to us, but I'm confident in what I'm doing here. 237-594-8800. 880-5346 are our phone numbers. NFL season does kick off tonight, by the way. It is, who plays Pinto? I even forgot.
Denver and Baltimore.
Denver and Baltimore on Thursday Night Football.
And they had to move it for a baseball team, which is rare because it was supposed to be in Baltimore, but they had to move it because the Orioles are playing there and they didn't want to mix up schedules. So
very interesting. Jerry, are the Packer fans or the Packer faithful, including yourself, are they greatly anticipating this weekend? Is it that festive atmosphere in Wisconsin right now?
Yeah, they are. You know, and I've been watching ESPN, Ron Jaworski. I mean, a lot of people are picking the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. Boy, I don't know if they watched preseason. I in fact, am going to be picking the 49ers in Sunday's game. I don't see where they've closed the gap with that team, but we'll see.
I agree. I think that the Packers, I'm not going to call them overrated. They're a very nice football team, but no, they haven't closed the gap with San Francisco. I'm not sure with the way things went in the preseason with some of the injuries that the Packers have had that they're, I suppose they're still the favorite in the NFC North, but they're going to be challenged, I think, this year. It's going to be a challenging year for the Packers.
Well, it just seems like they always struggle with injuries in the preseason. The Laga going down on the offensive line, I still think is devastating. I will say this, Lacy at running back is going to surprise. Even with an iffy offensive line, if you haven't been paying attention to that kid in training camp and preseason, the Packers have a legitimate running back. And that really, Mike, is what a lot of people are looking at. That and Deaton Jones, they think, is eventually, maybe mid-season, going to hit a stride and be a companion piece to Clay Matthews in the defense.
Packers and Vikings are going to split, right? Packers will win in Green Bay, Vikings will win in Minneapolis?
You know, I don't know. I haven't paid enough attention to the Vikings to see how I feel about them. It's usually a split. Wouldn't be surprised if it goes the other way, that they each win on the road. You know, we'll see if that's always a tough one. You and I need to work on a wager, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We need to figure something out for the Vikings-Packers game. Very quickly, just a couple minutes left. I'm going to touch on electronic cigarettes once we let you go, Jerry, because there is a crusade now to get rid of these e-cigarettes that are becoming more and more popular. We might agree on this again. I don't know what the big deal is. I think maybe they need to be regulated some, but to try to ban them the same way that the cigarette police are banning cigarettes right now doesn't make any sense to me. If I want to go take a hit off a nicotine, whatever these things are, why can't I do that if I'm an adult? It doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah, we're lockstep on this one too. And here's what's really stupid about that, Mike, is you want to ban a product that's safer than one that people are replacing the dangerous product with.
Oh yeah,
you know, unless I know now that the anti-smoking nannies are trying desperately to find something dangerous about e-cigarettes. Unless they do that, that actually convinces me. This makes absolutely no sense at all.
Well,
the planets must be aligned. We agree on everything today.
It's almost a case of, and more power to them, that the anti-smoking faction was, you know, so successful that their job is almost done. That, you know, they've banned smoking in most places. Minnesota, my state, has now taxed cigarettes so heavily that people are not going to afford to be able to smoke anymore, which is fine with me. It doesn't matter to me. I don't smoke. But it's almost as if they need their next battle. And their next battle is apparently these electronic cigarettes. And if there's no danger to them, if we can find a way to keep them out of the hands of young kids, maybe that's the one battle that there is. But other than that, if somebody wants to take a big old hit off an e-cigarette, God bless you. Go for it. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't hurt me at all, you know?
As H.L. Mencken once said, the definition of Puritanism is the fear that someone somewhere is having a good time.
I always liked H.L. Mencken. All right, this was way too easy. We got to stop this, Jerry, and come up with something that we disagree on for next week. But thanks for coming on, my friend. I appreciate it.
I just can't wait till tomorrow when you come on my show and say all the things about President Obama that you just said.
I believe it. I truly believe what I'm saying about the president, so I will say that. So all your listeners in Wisconsin can collapse from surprise, okay?
Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, you got it. Jerry Bader, WTAQ, WSAU, WHBL.